Hope everybody's doing well on this Sunday morning. We're getting ready to start a new sermon series this morning. Make your way over to Philippians chapter 1 if you'd like. Tell you a story, true story. I'll give you the main points so that way I have time for the message afterwards. In 1999, it was probably 1998, 99-ish. I had busted my knee and had to have surgery, and I was down for about a month. And couldn't work, and I was doing construction back then. And while I was laid up in the bed, and this is before I was a believer, by the way, but I was laid up in the bed trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get these bills paid, right? Because unless, you know, if you work construction, you understand that if you're just like carrying the wood around and carrying shingles, you're making enough to pay the bills and that's it. You got to own the company to make the money. Well, I had to figure out what to do. And while I was laid up in the bed, I kind of learned how to pass the CDL test. Right, just read the book and study. And I went and took my test, which didn't mean I knew how to drive a truck. But I kind of talked my way into a truck driving job after some prayer. Even though I wasn't a believer, I talked to God all the time, didn't know he was going to answer me. I just talked to God, and he kind of led me down to get this truck driving job. 2002, between 1999 and 2002, we start going to church at a church down the road. It was quite a ways down the road, actually. In 2002, my wife and I were committed our life to Christ, and we were saved. We got baptized into Christ. Then my son followed up right behind us, and we began our life in Christ. Still truck driving. By the time 2006 came along, we decided that we were going to drop everything and go into full-time ministry. Did some mission work to start with, which was kind of crazy. And everybody in the church were looking at us like we were crazy. Because we literally dropped everything. We stopped working and went in the mission field. All right. That was 2006-ish. And then around about 2010, I started preaching, actually, for the first time, full-time. I was doing youth ministry and mission work before that. In 2010, I started preaching. Sometime in between there, around about 2015, I not only got involved with being a firefighter and got EMT certified, but also got sworn in as a police officer. Not, I'm only telling you all this. I'll tell you why I'm telling you all this in a minute. And then 2018, I found myself on the top of the mountain preaching to y'all. That's 20 years, right? Now, back in 1999, for you young folks, it wasn't that long ago. If you'd have came to me and said, you're going to be preaching in a church every Sunday, I probably would have had to go to the hospital because I'd have been laughing so hard I'd have hurt myself. I wasn't even saved then, y'all. If you would have told me in 2002 when I got saved that I would quit truck driving and go and do ministry full time, I probably have been back in the hospital from laughing at y'all. You see where I'm going? Time flies by, and life goes on. And when I got the truck driving job, the first day they let me take one of them big trucks down the highway that cost a bunch of money and put everybody's lives in danger, I came home and told my wife, I think I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Drive a truck. Here I am. I ain't drove a truck for a while now. I would drive a truck today if somebody gave me the opportunity just to do it for a minute, just because it was fun. I love driving a truck. I'm telling you all of this because I would have never guessed what God was doing in my life. I could have never dreamed up where he had been, where he would take me, what he would do in my life, and what he would do for other people through my Christian walk. And here's the kicker. I'm not special. I'm not any different than the rest of y'all. Now think back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Where were you and what were you doing? Where was your life? Where was your Christian walk? Where were you in your relationship with Jesus? What has God done in your life so that you can point to him and say that he's faithful and he's awesome and he's the God that everybody talks about? What can you share with people about the history of your Christian walk? That's what we want to talk about for the next several weeks. That's like an outline of my personal testimony, saving everything that happened before 1999, which is really not that great when it comes to being a witness for the Lord. I had some good times. I mean, we had a lot of fun. That was before I was racing cars. I was telling Mr. Frank about that the other day. There's some other stories I'll share with that later on. Let's read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 6. And what I want us to do is I want to encourage you to just when we come in here for the next several weeks, let's try to focus on what is God doing in me and why. Where is he taking me? Where has he brought me from and why? Because if we live every day and consume the time that God gives us as if we're living paycheck to paycheck, so to speak, minute to minute, and we're never thinking about where we're going to be or where we're going in the next year or two or five, we will never get where we're going. Okay? Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. The letter is written to the Philippians. And as usual, encouragement and prayers are offered to start off. He says, Paul and Timothy in verse 1, which is not on the board, but it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to all the saints. This is verse 1. In Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, it says, grace, peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. How he starts every letter or similar words. And then he says in verse 3, here, check this out. We'll read all the way through it. He says, I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And here it is in verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes, you know, people might read this particular part of Scripture here, and our intent is to read the Scripture, see what the Lord has for us, and try to apply it in our lives, or try to let the Lord apply it, and figure out what we're supposed to be as Christians. And because of that, we skip over the first 3 or 4, 5, 6 verses, thinking that it's just the introduction to the letter. And I would say, let's just slow down a minute, because he is saying, I'm thanking God every time I remember you, and he is saying, I'm praying for all of you, and I always pray for you, and he says he prays for them with joy. All of it is because of their partnership in the gospel. Now, let's look around the room really quickly. It's okay to look at your neighbor. You guys know each other. You guys are all partners in the work for the gospel, aren't you? We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are all part of the harvest team. We are all going out into the world doing the same thing. And it's the same Spirit that works in you, that works in me, that works in all of us to do that task. Right? But he's saying, he's encouraging them. He's like, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And he says, from the first day until now. And then he says, I'm confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's words of encouragement for the people in Philippi. He's like, here's what I'm confident about. We're taking this to the bank, that whatever God started in them, he's going to finish the job. How many of y'all know that you're a work in progress? Some of y'all need to say amen a little bit louder, because we're all in a work in progress, right? Because we're all like, yesterday was kind of bad. Anyway, so God is a creator, isn't he? And if you read in the beginning, if you read in Genesis, at the account of creation, it says that in the beginning God created, and it goes through the list of things that God created. And every time God created something, he stood back and said, what? It is good. Oh yeah, I like that. That's good. Right? Including when he created Adam. Not only did he say it was good, he was like, that's very good. Now, we need to be aware and be reminded that you and I are creations of our God. The same God created all of us, gave life to us. We are his creation. How many of y'all know that God is faithful? I mean, how many of y'all really know? Not just because the Bible says, but because he's shown it to you in your life. Right? He's faithful, and we know he's faithful because he keeps proving himself faithful. And if God gave you life, and he created all of this, doesn't he show himself to be faithful in completing what he starts? Genesis chapter 3, we can read where Adam and Eve decided that they were going to disobey God because they wanted something they couldn't have, which opened the door to wickedness and sin and the decay of everything that God created. Right? But then also in chapter 3, you can find where God says, I see that everything's broken and destroyed, but I'm the only one that can fix it, and I will fix it. And then, of course, you read in the Gospels, pick any of the Gospel messages, and it'll tell you that Jesus came into the world to complete the task of keeping God's promise. That's why Jesus said it is finished when he was on the cross. Isn't that great news? And then in Acts chapter 2, we see more completion of God's promises when Jesus said, hey, fellas, I'm going to be back with the Father, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the Spirit of God come into play. Continuous faithfulness by God. And what promise do we still have left from God to see be fulfilled? One day Jesus will come back. And when Jesus comes back, it will be a done deal for it all. This is why the gospel is urgent, by the way, isn't it? Because we don't know if he's going to be back tomorrow, yesterday, this morning, today, whatever. Could be in the next moment. Could be in the next 20 years. Could be some other young man thinking he's going to be a truck driver, but actually God's going to turn him into a preacher in 20 years. And I can tell you right now, I'm like, what am I, 48, something like that? 20 years ain't a long time when you think about it. When you're 20, it seemed like nothing. Seemed like forever. I imagine if you live to be almost 100, a year is like a day in your mind. Just turn around one day and there you are. Time has gone by. But the question is, what is God doing? And are we looking for what he's doing in our life? And are we growing? Are we confident that he will complete what he started in our hearts? Because he didn't just send Jesus to die so that you can be in heaven. That's not the end. That's not the whole picture. It's a big part of the picture for sure, right? But there's a reason why God wants you as part of his family. There's a reason why God thinks that you're so valuable that he wants you to be in the house at his table when it's said and done, right? But in the meantime, he wants you to go out and get everyone else to come in. Let everybody else know of his love and his grace and his mercy. To be an ambassador, we have a job to do. See, when Jesus pulled this truck driver out of that truck, it was almost like taking the trash out. Because I wasn't saved long before he called me into preaching. It was only a few years, and then I started going, okay, I got to go in, I got to do something about this, because I can't just be sitting in a truck by myself knowing that Jesus died on the cross, and I don't talk to nobody for 12 hours a day. That's just me. There's other ways of making disciples. I could have stayed driving a truck for the rest of my life and still honored God and still been in the presence of God and been all right. But God had a plan for me. And he's got a plan for each one of you and everybody else that claims that Jesus is the Christ, and even some that don't claim that Jesus is the Christ. Whether you answer the call or not doesn't change the fact that God has something for you to do. Each one of us is a tool in his toolbox. And he will grab the right tool for the right job at the right time. The tools just have to be ready to be used by God. This is what's so encouraging, because he's like, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Now here's what I notice. The more we walk with Christ, the more we learn about God, the more we are familiar with the Spirit of God in our life, the more we realize that it's God that does all of the work, the hard stuff. And it's less that I have to do. Right? When I first got saved, I was all up in this Bible, man. I mean, I was listening. I was sitting in the back of the room of a big church, and I was reading the Bible while I'm listening to the preaching, because I couldn't stop reading the Bible because the Spirit of God got a hold of me, and I loved to hear the preaching, and I would get upset when I couldn't get off of work in time to get the Bible study during the week because the Lord was doing something to prepare me for wherever he was taking me. Right? I can just see it now. If you look back, it's like the Lord's like, okay, you want to read the Bible and listen to sermons all the time? Then you're going to be the preacher. You can do both at the same time. Here's what I know. It's an intimidating thing when you understand God for who he is. When you understand that God is God and he's almighty, he's all powerful. When you understand that he's holy and cannot be in the presence of sin and wickedness. And when a person gets cut to the heart, as they did in Acts chapter 2 after hearing the gospel message, when a person gets cut to the heart, the greatest news they could ever hear is that God forgives and his grace covers all. And if we would just surrender to that, if in that moment we would just surrender, completely surrender to God, and not forget that we've surrendered, right? I'm sitting here looking at my Bible. This Bible right here, I got this Bible in 2003, right after I got saved. That's what it says in his Bible anyway. Right here it's written down. It's got my name right there. It's got 2003. And I got so many marks up in this Bible. I write all over it. I'm surprised I can't even read it anymore. I'm not bragging. I'm saying this is what the Lord has brought me through and done for me and really done for his kingdom. Whatever the Lord is doing with my life for his kingdom to be glorified, it's his business. And I have to either surrender to it and be a part of it and be blessed by it, or I can fight it the whole time and not grow. That was 20 years what I described to you of my life. A lot has happened in those 20 years. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've dishonored God several times, I'm sure. We won't talk about that. But I know that there are times that I don't even know about that God has done something to bring himself glory because he picked up this old sinner boy out of a truck. Right? Where would I be if I didn't hear God? Where would I be spiritually? Where would you be if you didn't surrender to the Lord every day? Where would we be if we weren't confident that God would finish what he's working on in our hearts? Because listen, let me just say this. Life is not easy. And our prayers don't always get answered the way that we want them to be answered. It's only those who eventually get to the point where it's his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, no matter what I feel or think. That's when we become powerful witnesses for the body of, for the world through the body of Christ. You want to be used by God? You want to grow spiritually? You want to be an important tool in God's toolbox? We have got to be confident that God is doing work in our hearts. Especially in those times where we just feel like we're not very good Christians. And we don't deserve God's grace. Because we don't. But if we're not careful, we'll let Satan destroy us. We'll let the lies of Satan come in and say, see, you're no good to God. You don't care about him. And he certainly doesn't love you. He just tells you he does. It's all lies. And 5 years will go by and you'll be in the same spiritual place because you won't grow. Because you're not surrendered to the Spirit of God in your life. And you're not confident that God is faithful in working out what he started in you. Why did God call you out of your sin? Why did he send Jesus to die on the cross? Because he wants you to do something for him. He wants your life to say to the world, the kingdom of God is real. You can tell by looking at that one right there or that one over there. I can promise you this. There's a lot of people that I was close to before I was a believer that if I met them today, they would be amazed and shocked. I'm talking about the ones that when I disappeared from that world, they never did call me to find out what happened to me. I wasn't bringing the life of the party anymore, so they didn't have no need for me. And I started talking about that God stuff, so they definitely didn't have no need for me. We have to be able to be confident, right? The only people that make true disciples, the only people that participate in the Great Commission are the people who are confident in who they are in Christ. They're confident in what God is doing in their life. Even when someone comes up and says, I thought you were a Christian, look at the way you're acting. And even in that moment, when they're right to call you out, when they're right because you're failing, you can say, but God and his grace and his mercy will allow me to repent. And you stay true, right? Even when you're not there, you're not quite there yet, you know that God is not going to give up on you. Isn't that great? People are looking for hope in this world. People who don't know the Lord, they're out there in the world. They're looking for truth, but they're looking for hope too. They're looking for a way to say, you know what? This world is terrible at times, and I don't know how to get ahead in life. That's where I was when I was laid up in the bed learning how to be a truck driver. I'm like, I had a wife who went to work every day, and I tried to go to work every day, but we weren't making it. And I can tell you this, that moment was the moment that God started moving me closer to him because I was running out of resources. I was running out of ways to make it happen for myself. And I was coming to terms with the fact that even though I thought I was a pretty cool guy, I wasn't a good person in regards to the gospel, in regards to a holy God. Because I had sinned against him. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in church somewhere. How did that happen? Because God completes what he starts. Isn't that awesome? Everybody in this room is sitting here because God completes what he starts. He's in the process of completing what he started in you. Some of y'all may be saved for 50-some years. But the work's not done yet. The Lord's still working on you. The Lord's still doing great things. He's still growing you. He's still making you who he wants you to be. We're made holy because he's holy. That's what we're after. I hope this is an encouraging message for everybody in this room today. I don't want anybody to leave here feeling defeated because you've failed or because you're not getting it just right. I hope you leave here and saying, you know what? Maybe I did fail. Maybe I do need to repent. But I know that God is a God of grace and love. And I know that Jesus opens a door so I can repent and God can complete what he started. Isn't that great? You know how many people don't come to salvation because they don't have the confidence that we have in our God? They don't think that they're worthy, or they don't think that God cares enough to work on them like he's working on us. People don't come into the people. I know people that think that if they literally think they believe that if they walk in the front door of any church, they will burst into flames because of their bad behavior. That sounds ridiculous, but that's where people are. And the only way they're going to see anything different is if the believers who are growing in Christ display some confidence in our God by the way that we live, by the way that we succeed, by the way that we give Him the glory, by the way that we repent, by the way that we start over every day by His grace, by the way that we grow in Christ. Every year we are different. If next year at this time you are in the same place spiritually, you need to do something different, you and God. Because you should be changing. Which takes me to my next point. We already skipped all over that, sorry. Skipped all over that too. Here's my next point. Y'all know what that is. If you don't know what it is, it's because you walk in the door and it's been there since however long the church has been here. And it's been there for so long that you just kind of take it for granted. Anybody not know where it is? It's down there by the front door. When you walk out this front door over here, it's hanging on the wall. I'll read it to you. It's Oak Grove Christian Church history. It says this. It's a piece of paper that was written down in January the 17th of 1920. That's a little more than 20 years, y'all. Right? Listen to what the people, the believers said then. We, the undersigned members of the Church of Christ at Oak Grove on Upper Avery's Creek, do hereby covenant to meet regularly at Oak Grove for the observance of the Lord's Supper, the study of God's Word, prayer, mutual encouragement, and work for the extension of God's kingdom, generally as the Lord gives us wisdom and strength. We have already covenanted with God in Christ. In so doing, we realize that we have taken God the Father to be our God, Jesus Christ to be our Savior, the Word of God to be our only rule of faith and practice, the salvation of all men to be an object of perpetual concern, and the people of God to be, in an especial sense, our people. In order to fulfill most effectively this solemn covenant, we do now, on this 17th of January 1920, unite to form the Church of Christ in this community, or a body known as Christians only. And we do hereby covenant to do all in our power to promote the growth, spirituality, and general prosperity of this congregation. In testimony of our deliberateness and sincerity, we do hereunto affix our names. Isn't that awesome? We've talked about this before, but here's a bunch of people who love God, living in the same community that God has brought together to start something for His kingdom. This is 2020, y'all. It's a year and 2 weeks since this thing was written down. I said a year. It's 102 weeks. Come on, y'all. You can correct me. 100 years in 2 weeks. You got to let me make my point. Don't let me not make my point. Y'all are like, a year ain't long, man. 100 years in 2 weeks, y'all. Now, let me ask you this question. Some of y'all were around when this church was these times. Maybe not 100 years ago, but some little while later, some people came around. The point is, these people, the people that signed their names on the bottom of this paper, agreed to this, committed themselves to this work that God started. If you ask them in that moment, what do you think this church will look like in 2020? Do you think that what we see right now, they would have described? I don't see how they could have. Do you think that they would have thought that y'all would have been over here instead of where they were over there, location-wise? There's no way they could have, because we're on a need-to-know basis with God, y'all. God will tell us what we need to do, what we need to know, so that He can do what He's already started and complete what He's already started. And you know, and it's like, where's the church going to be in 5 years? This church, this congregation. Because 5 years ago, y'all didn't even know me. I was hoping nobody would say amen and hallelujah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? God is still working. And it's the responsible thing to do in your spiritual life to get with God on a regular basis and ask Him, where are we going? How do you want me to grow? How do you want me to get there? What should I be doing right now to get where you want me to be in 2, 3, 4 years down the road? Some people in this room might be in leadership in the next 5 years. Maybe not. Some people in this room will be up here singing on stage or playing music. Maybe there's some people that are going to come to this church that aren't part of our church yet that'll be involved in some things that we don't even know are going to happen. We might be building something in the next 5 or 10, 20 years. We don't know. Do we? So we can't just live Sunday to Sunday. Can we? We've never done that in the past. The reason I know that is because I just read a letter from some guys and ladies that committed themselves to God's mission. And because of their faithfulness and because of their spiritual growth, here we sit today. Continuing what God's doing. Watching Him complete the work that He began. Nobody is so special, and I say this to remind myself, nobody's so special that God's going to make Himself a liar over them. So here tonight, we're going to have our leadership meeting, and I'm going to finish up here. We're going to have our leadership meeting tonight, and we're going to continue to talk about the vision and the mission. We're going to do our best to get organized in what God is having us do as a church congregation. We're going to continue to strive to find what God has for us. What work is God doing? What is He trying to complete here at Oak Grove? And I would encourage you to come and be a part of it if you can. Doesn't mean we're going to say, okay, now you're in leadership and you have to take on these responsibilities. It just means that you're here to be informed, to know what's going on, to pray about it. If you can't come, okay. But know that it's happening. Be in prayer about what's going on here. Ask God to help us to continue to pursue His will for this church. Continue to build what He wants us to build. Continue to go down the roads that He wants us to go down. Because I'm not going to be 48 forever. And one day I'm going to be an old man that can't hear, can't see, and nobody cares to listen to. So I got to find somebody to train to follow me, don't I? I got to find somebody to train up in the ministry that might be able to relate to the young people and make disciples. Y'all know what I mean. God is doing a work, and if we're confident that God is working, even the bad things, even the hiccups, even the speed bumps, even the attacks from Satan will not slow us down. Right? Especially when Satan comes up against the church. When Satan gets involved in all of the progress, we will be able to say, but you know what? God started this and He'll finish it, so we're going to get through this together. And when someone in the church gets discouraged about something in their life or their spiritual growth, or maybe they've fallen into sin, we go pick them up and say, you know what? It's not over, because God is going to finish what He started in you. And what do we need to help you get where you need to be to finish that with Him? That's the Christian life. That's what we do, and that's who we are. We're a bunch of fallen people, broken people, who live with all of the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are unstoppable as long as we are tuned in to what God is doing. Y'all agree with that? No one can stop the church. Nothing in the world can stop the church from being the church. And at the end of this message series, we're going to read this again. And I'm probably going to have it up here. And I'm going to challenge each one of you to put your names on it as well. Just to commit to continuing the work that God started. So pray about that. Think about that. Ask God to help you. Ask God, where are we going to be? And I want you to pray about this church. I want you to pray about the congregation and the people in this church. I want you to pray about, where are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, what is this church going to look like? Ask yourself that question. And I would even encourage you to send me an email and tell me what you think. Nobody's wrong. How can you be wrong? Because if you'd asked them people in 1920 what they thought about the church in 5 to 20 years or 2 or 100 years, they would have never described it accurately. Right? Certainly they would have said, well, we hope that a lot of people come to church and get saved, and we hope that we honor God. Well, that's great, but it's vague, isn't it? What do we see? I can tell you what I see. I see young families coming in here with their kids. I see single people coming in here with their kids. I see older people coming in here, maybe even with their grandkids. I see the doors open to whoever wants to hear the truth about the gospel, whoever wants to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's what I see. Somebody sent me an email the other day, said our average attendance for as long as it's been kept track of, right? That doesn't define. It's not bad. It's not hundreds, right? I think it was around 70-ish, if you added it all up, maybe 60. But that doesn't define the future of what God's going to do. You and I know that we cannot drive up and down the roads of this community without seeing construction equipment, without seeing trees knocked down. Why is that? Because people are moving here. The population of our community is just increasingly growing. All I'm asking is that we pray that God would lead us and show us the way so that we can be faithful, so that he can complete the work that he started at Oak Grove. And all that means is we're just going to take whatever God brings in here. It could bust wide open, or it could trickle in, or something in between. Right? The only way that works is if you and I individually get in tune with our spiritual life, our spiritual health, and we continue to grow and we continue to ask God, where am I going for the next 5 years spiritually? What do I need to do to grow a little bit more this year? What can I do in the next 3 years to be further down the road spiritually than I was in the last 5 years? If we're intentionally asking God to help us grow, we will grow spiritually, and we will grow in number. Isn't that great? And it's all because God is faithful and he's awesome. So if you don't know where to start, I'll tell you where to start. Confess that Jesus is the Christ. If you believe that, confess it. Just stand up and say, I believe Jesus is Christ. And if you've never committed yourself to him 100%, saying, you know what, I'm yours, walk away from being a sinful person that don't care nothing about God and just say, I need God. I need that. The Bible says if that's the case, then you should be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So it was Acts chapter 2. And at that moment, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives you everything you need to grow and be used by God.